Greetings. Welcome to the State of Energy Powercast. I'm Rand DeWitt, along with a man who once parallel parked a train, Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. And he is on fire today.
Wow.
He's like a combusted coal plant right now.
A shut down coal plant that needs some propane to relight it?
Yeah, isn't it funny how that works? It works.
That's a true story.
Yeah, it is. Now, we're just going to jump right into it, folks, because Tom and I were just looking at some stuff on Google Earth. I have normal Google Earth, but Tom has Google Earth Pro. So, now, tell us what you're seeing here at this coal plant in Colorado.
You know what Google Earth Pro lets you do, though.
We'll go back in time. It's like a time machine.
It lets you go back. Yeah, it lets you go back and see those images from way back when. And you can go back a couple years. You can go back 10, 20 years. And there's even some of those that will go back 40 or 50 years, and it's using like some airplane imagery, but it's cool. I like it.
That's very cool.
All right. So the power plant.
Yes. You've been there. You've been to this power plant.
I've been to this power plant. This is the...
And what's the name of it again?
It's Tri-State GT, the Nucula Station out in Colorado. In Nucula.
And now you've been there, and you say it's huge. And there's a ton of coal that we're looking at here on these pictures of Google Earth.
And there's a bunch of propane there, too.
Funny how that works.
The point of our conversation was the propane is there to light the fire for the coal. When the coal gets shut down and they have to restart the coal power plant, here comes propane to save the day again to get your electricity flowing. Because without propane... you can't light the coal on fire.
See, propane to the rescue once again. Can't get your coal burning? Propane to the rescue. Windmills freeze up in Texas? What are we going to do? Get the propane. Sun doesn't come out for a week? We're going to freeze. Get some propane. You know, maybe we should just start using more propane in our everyday life to make things easier. But what do I know? What do I know? I do know that you can go to thestateofenergy.com and get all kinds of great information, listen to our past shows, where to get propane near you, find out about some rebates. We're also on Instagram at the State of Energy, just kind of running down a few things here that are going on. And Tom, I know this is a little bit of a sidebar, but the Hannibal School District in Illinois is replacing 10 of their school buses with propane-powered school buses.
Wow.
Yes, the Hannibal School District. Enjoy your studying with a nice Chianti and some fava beans. And now why are they doing this? Because they decided to make the move to comply with President Joe Biden's push to be more environmentally friendly. And side note, maintenance costs are much lower than the alternatives, saving the district tons of money.
Maybe they listened to the show and they got information about these propane powered school buses, and so they made sound financial and environmental decisions by using.
You know what? Let's throw it out there right now. If anyone for the Hannibal School District in Illinois would like to come on the State of Energy, this podcast, it's heard around the world. We're almost in 70 countries now.
68 countries, 1,500 cities.
See, you can get your message out. So if anybody with the Hannibal School District in Illinois wants to get on the State of Energy, just reach out to Tom Clark. He's easy to find. Very easy to find. He's also going to be a part of the 2024 Southeastern Convention and International Propane Expo Friday, April 5th through Sunday, April 7th at the Charlotte Convention Center in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. You're going to be a special guest speaker.
Special guest.
You got to wear a helmet. Special guest speaker, Shaping the Future, the NPGA Young Professionals Council. You're going to be speaking to the future propaners of tomorrow.
The Young Professionals Council. I don't know why they chose me for the Young Professional Council.
Well, you know, if you look at the landscape, you are kind of young. Just saying. And I love your profile. Check out Tom's profile for this. Tom Clark serves as the executive director of the Rocky Mountain Propane Association, the Colorado Propane Association, and the New Mexico Propane Gas Association. Tom is a PERC advisory committee member and has 29 years of propane experience in wholesale transportation and manufacturing. He is also the host, and I quote, of the world famous propane podcast, The State of Energy.
Wow. Who wrote that?
It sounds like you did.
well,
so that's very cool.
There is. So the new National Propane Gas Association, Young Professionals Council, is really to, you know, get these younger, this younger generation involved with the industry. Get involved with your association. Get involved with all the different groups that can help you with in your career, and help us by getting some new young blood into this organization. And that's what we're really looking for. When I got into this, you know, I was only 18 years old. I remember going to some of my first meetings and just feeling kind of like way out of place, because most of the people.
Okay, wait a minute. He got in when he was 18, and he's been in for 29 years. Let's do some. Okay, got it. Go ahead.
That's correct. I will be 47 here pretty soon.
Happy almost birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to get you some vodka and some Fresca. Tito's and Fresca on the way. Go ahead.
So the point is, when you're young like that and you're trying to get in into some of these meetings or get your foot in the door to some of these groups, you kind of feel like you're already disadvantaged because you're so young and people are like, oh, what's this punk gonna say? So I've been there and I've been through it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And this new group is going to try to bring these guys together, bring these younger groups together, and help them evolve into the association and advance your career with some help from some of the older guys, I guess. So this is going to be great. And I'm happy to be part of this discussion here coming up at the National Propane Expo.
2024 Southeastern Convention and International Propane Expo. Yeah, that's going to be really neat. And, you know, and why not? Why wouldn't these young folks want to get into an industry that's going to exceed $50 billion over the next few years? Why wouldn't they want to do that?
That's right.
And you got into this because of your dad. I mean, and somehow your dad is younger than you. I don't know how that worked, but you guys, whatever. Fuzzy math, but it works out. And that's just really neat because you come from a propane family, your sister, your brothers. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's a great industry to be part of. So I'm hoping we can meet some new people and get more people involved.
And more information can be found at thestateofenergy.com. I'm sure we're going to have information on, you know, we should probably do a live feed of you talking to the kids.
We should do that.
Okay.
The kids are anybody under 40.
You young whippersnappers, get off my lawn.
You know, when I worked for my dad, I was running the business there. I used to say anybody older than 40 is, you had to retire.
Forced retirement. but it's good. This is good because you know what? The people under 40 are going to be very, very tight with AI, because AI is, in case you haven't heard of it, it's kind of big right now. And like newspaper, like the Washington Post has a story, amid explosive demand, America is running out of power, is the title of the story. The AI and the boom in clean tech manufacturing are pushing America's power grid to the brink, and utilities can't keep up. For instance, Northern Virginia needs the equivalent of several large nuclear power plants to serve all the new data centers planned and are currently under construction. In Texas, where electricity shortages happen routinely when it's cold or really hot, they face the same dilemma. This is insane on how much power is needed for AI.
We've already been talking about this technology and how much power technology consumes. And we started talking about Bitcoin years ago and the amount of energy and electricity that mining for Bitcoin takes. Mm-hmm. And now the big push is AI this, AI that, ChatGPT, all of these things that people are using. In fact, I was reading an article about ChatGPT. There's like 200 million people a day that are using this AI.
Yeah, the chat box.
To produce whatever it is that you want it to make for you.
Yeah, ChatGPT uses 17,000 times the amount of electricity, 17,000 times the electricity than the average U.S. household uses daily.
And I think we're just getting into the beginning of this AI. I mean, eventually we're going to need so much energy to run all these data centers. I mean, just ChatGPT uses the same amount of electricity as 17,000 houses?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, and there's a lot. Now, if generative AI is further adopted, where it's going to happen, that number is going to go up dramatically. dramatic. And when you know, like when magazines like The New Yorker has a story called The Obscene Energy Demands of AI, how can the world reach net zero if it keeps inventing new ways to consume energy?
Yeah, that's...
You this, know something's going on.
Here's what we know. The more that we get into technology and data centers, it takes a massive amount of power to do this. Even the Bitcoin thing. You know what's going on with Bitcoin and how much power that it uses to consume or to produce a Bitcoin?
A single Bitcoin transaction consumes as much energy as the average American household uses in one day. That's a single transaction.
A whole day. So what's happening with the Bitcoin is coming up here in April. The way that this is just my 30,000 foot review of what I know about
Google
it.
Google Earth Pro Vision. This is,
yes, my Google Earth Pro has told me that sometime coming up here in the next month or two, Bitcoin is going to take twice as much energy computing power to create that Bitcoin as it does today. They call it a halving, where it splits itself into whatever it does. It makes itself consume that much more power and computer power to make a Bitcoin. That's why everybody's talking about Bitcoin prices going up, because it's going to take that much more energy to make one. When that happens, all these people are going to be using the same amount of power, but producing half as much Bitcoin. That's why they call it a halving. So here we go again. This isn't going to end. I mean, if you take something and cut it in half and cut it in half and cut it in half, that can go on
forever.
You're
a drug dealer.
Or a Bitcoin dealer. That just goes on forever.
Now, there's a Bitcoin Energy Consumption Index, and it says the Bitcoin mining now consumes 145 billion kilowatt hours of electricity per year, which is more than is used by the entire nation of the Netherlands, and producing that electricity results in 81 million tons of CO2, which is more than the annual emissions of nations like Morocco.
Wow. How many megawatts?
Bitcoin mining now consumes 145 billion kilowatt hours of electricity every year.
Wow.
145 billion kilowatt hours and 81 million tons of CO2.
This is not going to end. And we keep getting more and more data centers and more technology that needs more electricity. So where are we going to get all this electricity from?
Something tells me we're leading into propane.
I mean, why not? Right.
Well, it makes all the sense. It's propane to the rescue every time one of these new energy things fill. Again, we're not anti-electric. We're not anti-hydro, solar, wind. We're pro this. We just think that propane can play a bigger role in our energy independence and doing things sensibly.
Well, for sure, we need electricity.
Yes.
We love electricity. We love our ChatGPT. We love our Bitcoins. We love being on the air. We like our lights on. We need electricity. There's just no doubt about it. And, you know, we were talking about that nuclear power station. It's a big coal-fired power plant. They actually, if you look it up, it's supposed to be shut down, or it is currently shut down. So there needs to be, somebody has to replace that. That was 100 megawatts of power that was shut down. So where does that electricity get replaced from? And as you go back to your original story, that, you know, America is running out of power.
Right.
So when we run out of power, what are your options to getting electricity for everything that you love?
Well, I mean, you know what? Let's face it. There's some options, and we're actually leading into something here on the State of Energy. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. We're online at thestateofenergy.com. But a great example of this is what you're doing to help set up a community. It's in Utah, right?
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag, but there's a lot of things going on in communities all over the place,
and they can't get power.
They, well, I mean, people are trying to live outside of the hustle and bustle. And I think maybe, you know, maybe COVID started that, you know, people were able to work remotely. Mm-hmm. So I've talked to a lot of different developers. There's several big community developments that are going on right now all over the Rocky Mountain area. And one of them, a lot of them are needing gas and electricity infrastructure because they're so far off of the regular grid that they can't get connected to a grid affordably. So for example, this one group is building a pretty good sized community up in the mountains, and the main power supply is almost $10 million to get the electricity connected from wherever they are up to this community. And so it brings in the topic of what is fair to the rest of the ratepayers, because when this public utilities like electricity got started, the whole point is to try to spread this electric grid and gas infrastructure around to everybody and let everybody help pay for that infrastructure. So you got gas at your house, you got power at your house. I have gas and power at my house, but I certainly didn't pay to have that line ran all the way to my house. That would have been uneconomical for me.
Right.
So now you would get to these points where, you know, at what point do we stop paying as ratepayers to get electricity up to a community that somebody decides to build out in the middle of nowhere? So that brings up this topic, because you don't want to pay $10 million for 100 houses to have electricity because they chose to live way out in the boonies.
Right. But this also it's almost like a glimpse into the future when, what are we going to do? Like the New Yorker's asking, we keep inventing new ways to use energy, but we're not getting as much as we need. I mean, we're going to outpace what we're using. And some of these solutions are going to be needed, not just in remote places, but in cities, because there's going to be such an energy scarcity.
Absolutely. So what we have here, we're trying to put solutions together for this, for several developers right now that are going on. And one of the solutions that I've been working on with a development is, let's put in some large propane tanks and we'll plumb the communities, or we'll get a contractor to plumb the community, and it'll be like you're living on the grid, but with your own private storage facility, and your propane lines will go to all the houses. And then they propose the idea, well, what do we do for electricity? And I said, well, you could use that same propane distribution center and power your propane. You can power a power plant that will run electricity to this whole entire community. So just in these discussions, get this ball rolling for several different developments, we come across different power plant solutions. And you would be amazed worldwide how many different microgrid systems are available out there. There's a lot of them, and some of them are really great. And we're going to need more propane powered microgrids to be able to run all these data centers, to be able to live off grid into the mountains where you love, even to help your local suburban areas power the grid when there's a spike in demand.
Yeah, I mean, and you've named a couple of these, and we can talk about, like, Mainspring Energy.
That's a great one. I mean, those are like container sized little power plants that look like the size of a shipping container.
A shipping container or like a storage shed.
Yeah, they set these up and they can produce enough power to run a small town, a little municipality. They're really great. They don't take a lot of infrastructure from the grid. It doesn't take a lot of upgrading from these other grids that are really old and can't hardly handle the demand that's on there now. So these nice little mini grids, they don't have that long line loss that we've talked about in the past shows, where you lose a whole bunch of electricity when you're shipping power
almost
1,000 miles away.
Yeah, down the power lines. If you're shipping power down the power lines, you lose about half, right?
Yeah, you, like the guys in Seattle that are running all the way from Montana, from their coal powered plants in Montana all the way out to Seattle. That power line loss is significant. So these microgrids are much more efficient than having these bigger power plants. But Mainspring is just one of them. There's several other great products out there.
Well, you know, 2G Energy has the G-Box. We got to talk about the G-Box from 2G Energy, because who doesn't want a G-Box?
The G-Box.
G-Box, a small power plant, has electrical output of 60 kilowatts. Connection-ready module includes a control cabinet with a PLC controller, and it's called the G-Box.
That's pretty cool. I like it. Maybe that's the juice box.
It's great for hotels. It's actually, because the noise output is so low, it's really good for hotels and offices or residential buildings or homes.
Well, I'm telling you, there's so many different options out there. If you had this little setup for a hotel or some type of resort that you wanted to build or get involved with that didn't have electricity, you put the G-Box out there. And here you go. You got yourself some instant power. It runs on propane. It's clean. It's quiet. It's affordable.
And actually, that in Puerto Rico, you sent me a picture of that one in Puerto Rico. Was that a G-Box?
That might have been 2 G-Boxes.
Wow. I'm just going to keep moving forward here. But I mean, especially in Puerto Rico, where, I mean, think about what happened a couple of years ago when that storm blew through and it took out all the power.
That is true. So that resort, Anasco? And Nasco?
Well, I was going to say a resort in the in Puerto Rico.
They used the 2G service. It was a 240 kW, but yeah, the natural
that's like
disaster.
A K-box.
That's the cape. That's the that's a big box.
Yeah. We are not a big box store. We are not. Gauscore Energy actually is another one that you came across as well. I mean, they've got propane as readily available fuel, both in terms of ease of distribution and management. And Gauscore Energy actually has some solutions as well. And these are just a few of them, of the ones that you sent me.
The whole point of this is there are lots of power options for creating electricity using a fuel source to create that electricity, and using propane as the clean, reliable,
affordable,
dependent, affordable. And it gives you that energy security for your electricity and your propane. So if you took all this, like a resort like that, let's say this Puerto Rican resort, if you took the propane service side of it and heated your hot water, did all your cooking, and did any heating you needed for the swimming pool or even for the building itself, and then just used the power generator for the lights and the refrigeration, you really don't need a giant generator. You just need enough power to run those key items, and then let the gas do its job, let the electricity do its job with the gas, of course, but it gives you that energy security of having that on-site storage where you don't have to worry about some natural disaster, or like we've talked about in other episodes, even a domestic disaster, some type of attack on the grid, because those grids are vulnerable to those types of attacks. And when you have this on-site storage of electricity and gas, you can't go wrong with that. That's some real energy security for your business, for your family.
Did you hear all that, ladies and gentlemen? This is why Tom Clark is going to be speaking at the 2024 Southeastern Convention and International Propane Expo, speaking to the Young Professionals Council. That's coming up on April 5th through Sunday, April 7th in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Tom, you're going to be down there. You're going to be shaping the future of propane. You thought about that?
Be hanging out with Rusty Wallace.
Rusty Wallace. Rusty Wallace. It sounds like a...
The NASCAR guy.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay.
That's Charlotte's NASCAR country.
Well, and you're a G-Box. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and we're always online at thestateofenergy.com.